Let's take our Bibles and turn to Isaiah 58. Isaiah 58. As we continue to work our way through the book of Isaiah. Now the Lord starts out by telling Isaiah to cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgressions, and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily, and delight to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness, and forsook not the ordinance of God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice, and they take delight in approaching to God. Now let me go back a second. He's telling them, I want you, Isaiah here, my prophet, I want you to cry out against sin, to tell the people to call upon me. This is your job. Cry out. By the way, that is such an important thing for ministers, for the prophets of old to have done. And that is to cry out against sin. Spare not. Lift up your voice. Talk about sin. Try to lead the people in the right way. And yet, now, a cursory review of this, you don't quite see it, but as you look at verse 2, you realize that these people are seeking God. They're full of ceremonies. They're full of, they use their phylacteries. They count the number of steps they take. They have the mezuzah on the door. They do all these religious things. And yet, it's a show. Now, granted, I should let you know there are some people that are genuine, but Isaiah is saying that the showy part here is not acceptable. You can look righteous on the outside, and there's the problem. You can look righteous. You can, do all of this, but that's not how a person is saved. And notice what else they do. Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not. They have been involved in fasting. They have been involved in abstaining from food for biblical reasons. They've been doing this, and yet God hasn't been listening. Why? Because these are ceremonies that they're pouring themselves into. They're pouring themselves into these fasts. They're pouring themselves into these. They're afflicting their soul as such. And yet it is not with the right heart attitude. I had a student say to me one time, if my heart's not in giving, in tithing, wouldn't it be better if I keep the money? I said, I know your heart's not in it from that question. What God wants is their heart. God doesn't want ceremonies. God doesn't want I'm sorry's and just so you can go out and do it again. With your own family, I've told my family, I don't want to hear I'm sorry unless you mean it. You know, well, how do you know if we mean it? Well, that question helps to understand, if you mean it. You know, you're not playing the system. But I said these words. And that's what they were doing. They were coming up with all these ceremonies. They were coming up. And by the way, I don't want you to think that Israel is the only nation that does this. Christians do the same thing. We have many Christians that are very religious, and they have their own ideology, their own things that they do. And hence, if you do these things, you're righteous. If you never, ever, ever, if you're a woman and you never wear pants, you're righteous. And you always wear a skirt or a dress. That's not necessarily the case. So we come up with, again, the key, without getting into the topic, is modesty, just so you understand. But the point is, they come up with all kinds of things that say, I'm spiritual if I do this, this, and this. Well, a Christian ought to be doing many of those things, but the test is the heart. By the way, why would anyone fast? Why would anyone fast? Now, this is a fat person saying this. Why would anybody fast? The answer is the biblical reasons to afflict your soul might include things such as a national crisis. you know, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, then I will hear, or will I hear from heaven and answer their request and heal their land. So the point is, sometimes there's a national crisis that drives us to our knees, and we don't have, food is not the thing that's first on our mind. By the way, fasting is not something you do for a diet. It's not something, and I've heard people say this, well, I'm going to fast today, I need to lose weight. What does that have to do with it? The whole point of fasting is that you have something that is so important that you don't have the time to eat, don't have the desire to eat, and that's not on your top 10 list. Your focus is God. And so if you have a lunch break or you have an opportunity, the focus is time with God in prayer. That issue is so important. It's not about losing weight. It's not about a ceremonial cleansing, as I've heard people say. There's an issue. One of those issues might be a national crisis. 2 Chronicles 20, Ezra 8. Esther 4. These were all times in which the nation was in trouble and there was a fast that was called. Second, could be an individual need. Matthew 17:1. There is an individual need that is so pressing, so important, that you'd rather spend time in prayer than eat. A third reason might be a period of distress, a war, a calamity, death in the family, and this period of distress causes you to pray instead of eating. 2 Samuel 3:35, Psalm 35:13 is another example. A fourth one, and this is probably something that affects me more often than not, is spiritual decisions. I do understand the crisis nationally and things, but sometimes there's spiritual decisions and I have to pray until I get an answer. And I don't know. Sometimes I wonder if the Lord holds out just to see how long I'll hang on. But it feels like that. It's not the case. But there's spiritual decisions that I have to make that I need God's influence on. And I need His direction on. And I have to keep praying until the door opens. Because, and I've said this to the Lord, and I've said this to my wife too, there are times in which I'm a little dense. And I can't blame it on Lyme disease. You know, there's times in which there's a fog there and I'm not seeing clearly and I'm not thinking clearly. And I need God to open not just a window, but the whole side of the building. Big enough for a truck to go through before I say, aha, I'm not going to miss this one. So sometimes it's a spiritual decision that we have to make and we're calling out to God. Another reason could simply be Christ's return. I found this interesting in Luke 5:35. They were focused on Christ's return and they were spending time in prayer about the return of Christ instead of taking time to eat. Have you longed for the return of Christ or the will of God so much that you've skipped a meal? I have to admit, we have trouble even praying before meals sometimes. So these are some of the reasons you might engage in a fast. But notice, weight loss is not on the list. All right, weight loss is not on the list. And I can't tell you how many times people have come up to me and say, I'm going to go and do a fast because I need to lose weight. That's totally the wrong reason. I mean, there are a host of other ways to lose weight other than the fast. And if you do, don't call it a fast. Furthermore, if you do fast, you don't tell everybody, I'm fasting. That's not the idea of it. It's between you and God, and your focus is God. So we see here there are reasons to fast, but the nation of Israel didn't find them. They were doing something out of a ceremony. They were hoping that if they afflicted their soul, that God would have mercy upon them. Almost like the prophets of Baal that were cutting themselves and chanting and saying, okay, you know, look, we really mean it and we're hurting ourselves and we're almost dead from this. You're going to answer. Well, the prophet Baal wasn't going to answer. Baal wasn't going to answer the prophets because he can't. Furthermore, our God often does not answer when we do things for the wrong reason. We do things just for the wrong reasons. So anyhow, why have we afflicted our soul? thou takest no knowledge. Their heart was in the wrong place. They were calling for blessings so they could fulfill those blessings or fulfill their own lust with those blessings. That's the problem. I had a friend one time who told me to pray for him, and I asked him why, and he was saying to me that he wanted to do something that he knew was outside the will of God, and was asking me to pray that God would bless him as he was doing something outside the will of God. And I asked him, are you serious? You really want me to pray for you that God would bless you so you can do something you know is out of the will of God? Yeah. But he's not hearing me. Maybe he'll hear you. Well, hear this. No. Behold, in the days of your fast, ye find pleasure and exact all your labors. So they're finding pleasure in their fast. They're just like the Pharisees were. They were showing off. They were getting attention. And they were thinking, why isn't God answering? They already had the benefits of their fast. People took notice. Behold, ye fast for strife and debate and to smite with the fist of the wicked of wickedness. They were debating who is the most spiritual because of their fast. I'm more spiritual than you because I put more in the offering plate, or I'm more spiritual than you because I ate less, or I'm more spiritual than you because I strain gnats when I drink fluids, and I don't let any gnats into my mouth, so I strain them with my teeth. I am more holy than you are. And again, we as Christians come up with our own little things. I am more spiritual than you are because. I remember when I was in seminary, this movie had come out, and our school had a policy, you don't go to the theater. I have no problem with that. That was their policy. And so what happened was one of the staff workers said to me or my wife, I can't remember, I can't wait till this comes out in, at that time, video. And I asked why. Well, I can't go to the theater. That's sin. I said, if it's sin to go to the theater and watch it, wouldn't it be sin to watch it at home? You know, we come up with those little, I'm not paying Hollywood for it. You bought the movie! What do you mean you're not paying Hollywood for it? The point of what I'm saying is, I will put no vain thing before my eyes. It doesn't matter if you're in your house, and it doesn't matter if you're on your computer, and it doesn't matter if you're at the theater. The point is, you will watch what you watch. You know, be careful what you watch. You know that little song, oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see? You know, that is so true. I mean, that is so true, not for just little people, but big people. You know, be careful, little mouth, what you say? I mean, that is so true. And here we are in the world, and these people were using their external spiritual standards to tell God what was spiritual, and yet their heart wasn't in it. Their heart wasn't in it. There is a difference between compliance and obedience. There really is. It's like the little boy who was told in class, you need to sit down and be quiet. You need to sit down. And finally told the teacher, I'm sitting on the outside but standing on the inside. You know, he was obeying, but he wasn't he was compliant, but he really wasn't obeying. There was something wrong. That's where Christianity has messed up in many cases. That's where Judaism messed up in many cases here in the book of Isaiah. There was something not right. God saw it, and they pretended not to notice. And the average person noticed. And that's one reason why when Christ came, you know, they were like, yeah, give it to the Pharisees. Let them have it after all the things they've been doing to us. And Jesus is looking at them and saying, wait a minute, this affects you too, you know. I want your heart. I want your heart. Behold, ye fast for strife and debate and to smite with the fist the wickedness of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as ye do this day to make your voice to be heard on high. You think you got God's attention? You don't. So now he describes what the real fast is, what the real life ought to be. And it's totally different than what they were doing. You know, a lot of times people pray for the lottery. And it's really, for the most part, not to give to the Lord. Okay? It's usually not about God. Because God doesn't have what you have already. Okay? And this is the situation here. So here's what God is telling him. It is such a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul. Is it? And now he's giving the point. Is this an acceptable fast? Is this acceptable what you're doing? How do we know? Well, what's the purpose of it? To bow down his head as a bulrush. To spread sackcloth and ashes under him. Wilt thou call this a fast and an acceptable day unto the Lord? So is your fast one in where your heart is humble? Is your fast one in where you've bowed down to God and you've taken away your comfort because your focus is God, not self? Verse 6, is not this the fast that I have chosen to loose the bands of wickedness? Is the point of the fast to end wickedness or to fulfill your lust? What's the difference here? A big difference. And he's saying, are you praying that wickedness and sin ends? Is that why you're fasting? If it's for attention, it's the wrong reason. If it's to, if you're watching your weight, that's the wrong reason. He goes on to say, to undo the heavy burdens. Are you fasting because your burdens are so heavy and you want God to lift them? That's an acceptable reason. That's an acceptable fast. To undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, that ye break every yoke. Is it to cause those that have been oppressed to go free? Is that your reason for fasting and prayer? Is that God might answer and release those that are being persecuted? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry? Is your fast for the purpose of food? Lord, we have nothing to eat, or there are others that have nothing to eat. Please answer our request. And you have fasted and perhaps even given your food to someone else. And that thou bringest the poor that are cast out of thy house. Is it to help people find lodging? God, I can't take the time to eat because I'm busy praying that you might open the door to give them a place to stay. When thou seest the naked, thou coverest him, that thou hidest not thyself from thine own flesh. Maybe you're fasting that God might provide clothes, and God causes you to share what you have. I dare say the average person in this room has more than one coat. I dare say we have more than three coats. I dare say most of us, if you count the summer jackets and windbreakers and all that, I probably think we have more than five coats. And he's saying, and I'm not saying that that's sin. Please understand that. The point of what I'm saying is, he's saying, you see someone without a coat and you're on your knees and you skip your meal to fast. Chances are you're going to lose a coat. There's a teacher that I used to work with that got on her knees and she was praying. And she was praying about someone she knew that didn't have a coat. Her family, once a year, each child received a coat for Christmas. That was, they knew that was going to be one of their gifts. They got a coat. And she always wanted a wool camel colored coat. And she got it. And she loved her coat. She ran into somebody that had no coat. She knew they had no coat. She knew that they were cold. She knew that they didn't have any money, and she said God burdened her so greatly she couldn't sleep at night. And the next couple days later, she went to that person and said, God wants you to have this coat. She gave the gift that she wanted most to this other person. You know, she told that story and she said, I went home and cried. I cried that God opened my eyes to the need, and then I cried that I didn't have my beautiful coat. She said, I cried, and I put it before the Lord, and I said, Lord, you're enough. You're enough. I have an older coat. It's not as pretty, but it keeps me warm. This other person didn't have a coat. I'm okay. She said, one of the parents at school, and she goes, I didn't tell anybody this story. One of the parents at school showed up one day and said they owned, a clothing store, and they said, you know, the Lord's really put it on our heart to give you a coat. And it turned out to be a wool camel-colored coat. And they gave it to her and said, you know, God just laid this upon our heart. Sometimes God burdens us, and it's when we're on our knees. And she said, I know she had said over the years she has shared that story, and she said, I have received more camel-colored coats than I know what to do with sometimes. But God always finds a way. I've never lacked for a coat since then. You understand how God works these things out? She was fasting and in prayer over this, and God burdened her. Is that the right reason to fast? Yes. Is that the right reason to pray? To care for others? And once you do these things, notice what he's saying in verse 8. Then, this is the right reason. Not so you could say you're more spiritual. Not so that you could say, look at me, look at me. But so that you can actually care for others. Then shall light break forth as morning. In other words, you finally get it. Today we refer to that as the light bulb going off. You're going to get it. And not in a bad way. And thine health shall spring forth speedily. I'm going to brighten your day, and I'm going to lighten your load. And thy righteousness shall go before thee. Your character's going to change, because you've been really spending time with God for the right reasons. And the glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. He doesn't promise material things here, but he does promise that he will be your reward. Notice the difference in the reason for the prayer. Ceremony versus substance. People looking at me and saying, oh my, he's spiritual. Versus God looking at me and saying, yeah, he's one of mine. What a difference. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Remember, before, God's not answering all their ceremonies, all their prayer requests, all of their fasting, running around saying, I'm so hungry, God. And it's all drama. And now he's saying, you got your heart rate. I'm going to answer your request. I'm there. I've been there all the time. But I'm not talking to you if you're not doing it the right way. Then shall cry, and he shall say, Here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, and put forth from finger, and speak vanity. You get rid of vanity. You get rid of what your hands are getting a hold of that's not right. Get rid of this, and I'll be answering you. I'll be blessing you. I'll be working with you. And if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, now you're doing good works as a result of your relationship with God, and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity and thy darkness be as the noonday. I'm going to start blessing you as you started serving me. And the Lord shall guide thee continually. I'm going to show you what my will is. I'm going to answer your request. One of the biggest prayer requests that I have all of the time about different things. Lord, show me your will. What do you want me to do with this? I need direction on this. Other people are depending on me. And I need to get this right. Give me wisdom here. And he's saying, I will give you that wisdom. I will give you that direction. And satisfy thy soul in drought when other people are suffering. Remember Psalm 1? You're going to be planted like the tree by the river of water. And when the heat comes, and he comes, you're still going to have that nourishment. And make fat thy bones. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you. And thou shalt be like the watered garden, and like the spring of water whose waters fail not. I'm going to provide for you. I'm going to provide. And I don't want to turn this into material blessings, but I'm going to provide peace. I'm going to provide for your soul. I'm going to provide what you need. In many instances, he does provide the material things. He does bless us. He does feed us. Life may be rough at times, but he is the one that is giving us our provision. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations. You're going to be an example for the next generation. You're going to be the example that I want you to be. Others will take note of this. And notice what they start calling this person that does this. The repairer of the breach. The restorer of the paths to dwell in. We're going to call you the guy that makes peace. We're going to call you the guy that fixes things. What a nice thing. Remember a fellow named Joseph in the New Testament? He didn't go by that name. He went by the name Mr. Consolation. Mr. Consolation. Better known to us as Barnabas. That's the kind of thing he's talking about here. And if thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day. Now he's explaining a little bit. Here's what I mean by living for me. And if you don't, and you start doing your own thing, we got problems. But if thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, you look forward to spending time with God during the week. The holy of the Lord, honorable, and shalt honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasures, nor speaking thine own words. Then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. God said it, that's it. So he gives just one example here of the commandments, and he said, let's just take the fourth commandment. Honor the Sabbath day. Keep it holy. You know what? If you honor me, if you would honor me, I'll honor you. Now, this is all exciting. You wouldn't think that an old book in the Old Testament like Isaiah would have such pertinent stuff for us. But you know better. You know better. This is what he's called us to do. Not ceremonies and not not, you know, we can get into the ceremonies of things and in reality lose touch with the Savior. There are many religions out there, many churches out there that have so many, they have their own almost sacerdotal system, and yet they've lost Christ. They've lost Christ. He's called us to renew that relationship. Renew that relationship. Honor Him. Get on our knees before Him, and He'll bless. I'm thankful that He does that. I'm thankful that He sent this message, not just to the nation of Israel, but via them it's coming to us. And He wants a real relationship, not just with them, but with us. Does He have that with you? What changes are you going to make this week to make sure that you're right with God, to make sure that you set time aside for God, that maybe you actually get on your knees and pray, or sit on the edge of the bed and pray. Someone once said to me, when do you pray? I often pray at night. I'll be honest, when I get up, my mind's going crazy and I've got all these things I have to do. I'll study my Bible, but I do most of my praying at night before I go to bed. And someone said, I try to do that and I fall asleep. And I said, so do I. But what a great way to go to sleep, talking to the Lord. It's better than CNN by far. It's so much better. And talking to the Lord at night. I trust you set time aside to talk to the Lord and pour your heart out to Him and then watch Him answer and bless. Heavenly Father, we do ask that you might cause us to have that vital, real relationship with You that You've called us to. You are God alone. Help us not to squander the opportunities. Help us not to wait till there's a crisis, but to walk with You every day. May we bless others as You have blessed us. Help us to walk with You. In Christ's name, amen.